Welcome to The Virtual Shift, a show looking at the seismic changes happening in healthcare with virtual care at the epicenter. Join me and my guests as we look at key cultural and policy shifts impacting how providers, payers, and patients connect, as well as how care is being reimagined both for today and the future. Hello, and thanks for tuning in today. I'm your host, Tom Foley. You can learn more about this show by visiting the program on healthcarenowradio.com, and be sure to follow me on LinkedIn, Twitter, at FoleyTom. And the hashtag, The Virtual Shift. Today, we have a great guest, April Capu. She is the Vanderbilt Professor, Acute Care Nurse Practitioner, and President of the American Association of Nurse Practitioners, AANP. April, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's so great to be here. Thank you, Tom.
I very much appreciate you coming on, taking the time to meet with us. You know, on The Virtual Shift, we talk about the reimagining of the delivery of care. And before we start to have that type of conversation, the nurses and nurse practitioners themselves are reimagined the delivery of care just because of COVID. The struggles that they've gone through in the worst of times has nothing but appreciation, I believe, on behalf of the American people and the world. It's always great to know you have that type of person. I won't even call it a resource, a person at your bedside when you're down and out. Very appreciative to a profession that is the top of its class. So, so tell us a little bit about the American Association of Nurse Practitioners.
Well, we represent the nation's 355,000 nurse practitioners, but we're actually the largest NP association in the world. And we provide resources and support for nurse practitioners everywhere. That's practice resources, education, certainly advocacy for patient care and for the profession. A lot of work towards research and really looking at patient care outcomes and the impact that nurse practitioners have on outcomes of care. And then leadership, opportunities to lead and do things that are new and different. And we know that nurses have lots of different opportunities in their career. And certainly I can say that AANP was really very instrumental in my own career. I am a nurse practitioner. I worked in an ICU, and I remember just a couple of years into my work as an NP, I decided to drive up to an AANP conference. It was in Indianapolis. And the reason I drove up is they were having a workshop on thoracentesis, and I wanted to go and, you know, go to the workshop, but I ended up staying for the whole conference, and the education sessions were tremendous. I was networking with so many other NPs across the country. I absolutely just became very engaged, and I would encourage everyone to be, very active in a professional association. But I was able to run for state representative of our state of Tennessee, and then go on to run for regional director and ultimately president. So leadership opportunities through the organization as well. Lots of scholarships, grants. I could go on and on all the different resources that we provide for our members and also for patients. We have an excellent patient-facing website, wechoosenps.org, with lots of important information that patients can find out about clinical topics as well as more about nurse practitioners and the care that we provide.
That is an awesome organization. So tell us a little bit more about, I believe this week is Nurses Week.
It is.
And certainly every week should nurses should be honored, frankly. So tell us a little bit more about what's going on this week in terms of highlighting the profession and your organization as a whole.
Yeah, I agree. We should be celebrating nurses 365 days a year. But this week, we really place special emphasis and have a lot of different celebrations and events, really honoring and highlighting all that nurses do. I mean, nurses are in every setting. They're in the hospital, they're in clinics, they're in schools, community centers. They're in all settings where healthcare is provided. And so we really want to honor their work, to say thank you. They have provided care throughout the decades, but over the last 2 years, it's just been extremely challenging, but we've seen nurses as innovators and leaders stepping up over and over again. They were, if you think back to March of 2020, they were setting up tents or in sites, drive-through sites, testing centers in the community. They were going to communities, churches to make sure everybody had access to test. We were setting up hotlines to answer questions. We were setting up makeshift emergency departments. Then we began to expand ICUs because all of the hospitalizations related to COVID. Then we began to start seeing patients in their home. Telehealth expanded, and nurses were integral to all of this. So we really want to say thank you to nurses and really want to highlight everything that you do each and every day as nurses, all types of nurses, nurse practitioners, all types of nurses. So important and fundamental to our healthcare system today.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. As I said, I have a couple of nieces. As a matter of fact, I'm going up to South Carolina this weekend. My other niece is graduated from nursing school, University of South Carolina.
Great.
So she was actually on the program over the Christmas holiday, just as an FYI.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's a great program.
So, and the role of the nurse practitioner seems to be changing. It's clear based on your comments already, they have been instrumental in, always being there, regardless of the setting of care, when you talk about virtual care, the home, things of that nature. But I believe it's the state of Kansas and New York have recent legislation that changes the role of the nurse practitioner. Tell us a little bit more about what those legislation pieces are about.
They were the latest two states to update their laws to where now nurse practitioners in those states have the licensure authority to practice to the full extent of their education, training, and national board certification. So in those states, they can practice to the full extent of their education. They can diagnose, they can treat, they can prescribe, they coordinate care, they educate, and they're able to move and provide more access to patients in the community. We know that there are over 91 million Americans that lack access to primary care. So there are significant issues across every state in terms of access to care. And in those states, the 26 states plus DC that have moved to full practice authority, so licensure authority to practice to the full extent of your education, in those states, we've seen the workforce increase and we've seen more nurse practitioners moving to rural areas to provide care. So I can just give you an example of Nebraska alone. When Nebraska moved to full practice authority, 4 years later, 25 counties that were previously known as provider shortage areas had an increase in nurse practitioners working in those communities. So now people who had previously had a much more difficult time accessing care now have more accessible care to vital, vital healthcare services. And there's a nurse practitioner coordinating that care, collaborating, having discussions with all the members of the healthcare team to make sure that the patient has everything they need in terms of promotion of health, prevention of disease, chronic disease management, all of those things that nurse practitioners provide so well. And we have decades of evidence to demonstrate that we provide very excellent care and excellent patient outcomes.
Interesting. So, I often talk about on this program the challenge of our current situation. And even prior to COVID, we had a growing population, an aging population, a population contracting more and more chronic conditions as they grew older. On the flip side of that, we have less nurses, not necessarily nurse practitioners, but less nurses and providers to take care of that older age or sicker population. So it's encouraging to read some of the things that you're doing and some of your achievements in the context of, correct me if I'm wrong, but nurses elevating themselves to nurse practitioners and engaging in those different types of settings to ultimately reshape and support the needs of consumers in their respective communities. Is that a fair?
Completely agree. And we see more nurse practitioners in nursing homes, in long-term acute care facilities, in rehab facilities, many more nurse practitioners working in communities such as and working in affordable housing developments. So getting access for the aging and elderly population is very important. And particularly, we're seeing more nurse practitioners providing healthcare services via telehealth. That's one thing the pandemic did, is it really helped us to push our boundaries so we could become more familiar with telehealth. And patients are more familiar with telehealth now. So now we can have more telehealth visits as well as in-person visits where the individual comes into our clinic. But we're also now providing care in the home. I think that's really important. And access has really been opened, as well as the barriers to access throughout the pandemic. But we've figured out new and innovative ways to increase access as a result of the pandemic.
Given the title of this program, The Virtual Shift, obviously, it's not just about a telehealth visit, meaning a video visit, but the newer models that CMS is endorsing in some private payers. So the point there being is, when you have a remote patient monitoring, remote right. therapeutic monitoring, you have chronic care management, PCM and TCM, you know, this is about the changing of the guard. You know, the average Medicare patient, 5 chronic conditions, 9 different doctors. They only see their doctors 15 hours in a given year. The biggest question relative to the shift in quality of care is what happens the other 8,745 hours. And right. and so how do we leverage these new programs to ultimately extend the delivery of care from the brick and mortar into the home, as you're suggesting nurses and nurse practitioners are doing already today? And so it's a continuous care model that ultimately will affect and bend the curve relative to that development of chronic conditions over time. And how do we put some of these chronic conditions, such as diabetes, into a state of remission, if you will, right. because of that added care? Thoughts?
Well, without regular healthcare maintenance, and if access is an issue and transportation or the closest facility or clinic is 2-3 hours away from you, have to take off work without, that's a limit. And so you're not regularly seeing a healthcare provider. When you have accessible healthcare in your community, you're going to get more regular healthcare services. So not only promotion of health and prevention of disease, but you're getting those regular check-ins on your blood pressure. You're getting those regular check-ins on your diabetes. And what this does is this prevents you from waiting till it's absolutely necessary and going into the emergency room, which, you know, that's where we see a lot of people get their care because they're not getting regular healthcare checkups along the way. So anything that we can do to increase access to care, certainly as nurses, we've stepped up to help fill that gap and meet that need. But anything we can do as a healthcare system to increase access to care so people are getting it more on a regular basis and you've got an established trust relationship with your provider, that's okay. going to keep you from getting sicker, going to the ED, and ultimately to the hospital and so forth. So very important.
I couldn't agree more. It's really about the coaching of the consumer mm-hmm. On a day-to-day basis. And again, that continuous care model, that nurse is there, whether it be at the bedside or the phone side of health, being able to engage is critically important. We haven't talked much, but my father was a diabetic and he had every complication imaginable. So, you know, healthcare doesn't hurt, or I should say the state of health doesn't hurt sometimes. You know, you can't feel that you got high cholesterol. There may be some symptoms that you have it, but it doesn't really hurt to the point of pain management. And diabetes is very much the same way.
Well, I was just going to say, it's very different today. The title of your show is very classic for today and what we're experiencing. In the past, where you would make an appointment, you would go in 4-6 weeks for your appointment. That's changing. People are needing more ready access to healthcare. You see the newer generation, they want to be able to take advantage of AI and the virtual access and the house calls and things like that. So healthcare is shifting as a whole. And so being able to meet the patient where they are is very important. So all of the technology that we see there and having more providers in those communities, but also understanding the social context of where the patient is. So you know, what is the neighborhood? What is the air quality, their access to food, their access to transportation? Do they have housing, income? All of those determinants, social determinants of health, are very important to take into consideration when we're talking about meeting and getting that regular health care that we so vitally need.
You just nailed it. And in the context of, you know, it's not just about brick and mortar versus virtual care. It's really, it is about how do we address the needs of the patient, stop treating the symptoms and treat the problem. And part of the problem is better understood if you understood the social determinants of that patient, right? Do I have air conditioning? Do I have heat in the winter? What type of environment? And to your point, I could be a diabetic and be prescribed a particular diet, but I can't afford the diet.
Right.
I can't afford the right food. So, access to care, I can very much appreciate what you and your organization and your members are doing in the context of improving access to care. But sometimes access is about not the diagnosis. It's about how do I engage in my care plan.
Right.
So whether it's exercise, you know, you don't need to go to a gym to exercise. You could do that many different ways, but doing it is the thing, right? Movement is the key. I was speaking with another gentleman, Michael Grace, on a previous show, and talked about the neighborhood store having, you know, 36 different flavors of a beer and sugar candy, but they don't have any apples and oranges and bananas, right? No lettuce. So there's just the overall quality. Which brings me to an intersection here. We understand the problem, and there's a couple problems in the context of access to care as well as access to cure is one continuum we need to focus on. But there's a lot of underserved communities that we talk about. How do we provide access to professions like yourself? It seems like it's an opportunity to help lift a community. In the context of jobs, right? Economic reform is often needed in order to have healthcare reform. I always say that, you know, it doesn't matter what healthcare reform bill you pass, it does, and independent of politics. But I know two things are going to happen. Doctors are going to get paid less, and I'm going to have to pay more. Those are the two outcomes of any healthcare reform. And folks, you know, we see it all the time, you know, folks even doing urgent care and the ability to pay, you know, $35, $40, $49 for even a virtual care visit, can't afford it.
Right.
So how do we use the opportunity to educate students in these underserved communities that nursing is a profession that should be pursued? Because not only is it a great profession, it is the demand over the next 20, 30 years is just off the chart, right? I think your organization had a 9% increase in nurse practitioners over the last year, which is great. And the unemployment rate in nursing is 1.2%. It seems to me like there's an educational opportunity here to help, because if I don't get engaged in that educational opportunity, I might end up being one of those underserved.
I
don't have the economics to engage. How do we use that together? What are your thoughts on that front?
Well, we do spend a lot of time speaking with students. We have scholarships and grants and things like that, but we spend a lot of time speaking with students, talking with them about all the opportunities in nursing. Certainly nurse practitioner is one career pathway, but there are lots of opportunities. And there's the opportunity to pivot throughout your career. I've been a nurse, a nurse practitioner. I've been an educator. And now I'm president of an association. Lots of different pathways you can take as a nurse. And that's one of the things that makes the profession so attractive. But I think also when we go into nursing, it's because we enjoy care. caring for patients, and that it's not a job. It's something that we really care about. It's almost like a calling, some people will say. But that joy that you find in caring for patients, that's also very attractive about the profession. So we spent a lot of time talking to students. I actually went to the University of South Carolina not too long ago. Okay. But we spend time talking to students. We also spend time speaking with the public in general, because there are many people that want to take a new pathway in their career. Maybe they are in one particular career, but they've looked at nursing. They've seen what's happened throughout the pandemic. They wanted to do more. And so they began to look into educational opportunities as a second career. And so we want to make sure that we're also speaking to people at all ages, that nursing is a wonderful career to go into, and this is how you do it. Scholarships, funding, that's very important because you have to pay for the education. So making sure they know all of the programs that they can take advantage of, loan forgiveness programs that are out there. We do a lot of educating about those things as well.
It is so important. And again, the delivery of care side of the equation is one thing, but relative to economic opportunities are for those folks that are feeling like they're trapped in a community that has no opportunity. And there are opportunities, right? And the healthcare profession across the board, it's in its greatest demand that I've ever seen, and certainly a great opportunity to pursue. That said, let's shift the conversation a bit to, and you've mentioned some of them already, this market, there's plenty of opportunities for anyone entering the healthcare field. And there's a pick a path. And even if you want to alter the path, it's certainly there. There's again, the demand for healthcare is never going to go away. And then the greatest shift that's taking place is about the hospital at home, the home truly being a setting of care, whether it's in for quote unquote hospital settings or just ambulatory settings, because I have these chronic conditions that I just need day-to-day management. Tell us a little bit more about how you see the market shifting and the role that nurses and nurse practitioners play in that.
Well, increasingly, and this was well before the pandemic, we saw many nurse practitioners that had mobile health clinics, or they were going to the home, house call type of program. We have lots of those types of programs across the U.S., but during COVID, and that was more primary care, meeting primary care needs, but in the pandemic, and I just share my own personal experience, I remember at one point in the pandemic that we had to be able to see patients in the home. They were COVID positive. Maybe they had been seen in the ED, sent home, but they still needed substantial healthcare services above and beyond what they might receive with home health care. They needed a provider to see them in the home. And so we began to explore this hospital at home concept in our own, where I work. And one of the things I thought was interesting early on, because we were seeing COVID positive patients, we were putting together our car kits, you know, with the disposable stethoscope and all of the PPE, you know, in the trunk, it was all there. And we figured out how to don and doff at someone's doorstep and to educate the patient how to do this as well. But that really pushed us into how do we deliver more acute care types of services in the home. So at home infusions, at home monitoring, telemetry, blood pressure monitoring, pulse oxygen, all of those types of things in the home. So that was one thing I think the pandemic pushed us even more into that space. Meet the patient where they are. Take the equipment, take the talented personnel that you have, the resources to the home, and pull that away from the exhausted healthcare system and treat the patient in the home. And what do you learn when you're there in the patient's home? So much about the patient, just like you had said earlier. We learn about their access to food. We learn about the air quality, those types of things. We learn a lot more about the patient when we're in their environment.
So true. With all that said, do you think that we should be more aggressive or progressive in granting nurse practitioners more ability to prescribe remote patient monitoring or therapeutic monitoring or chronic care management versus having to have the provider do it? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, we do need to update our laws. Some laws are 40, 50 years old. We need to bring modernized laws so that nurse practitioners can practice to what they were educated to do. So they're educated to diagnose, prescribe, order and interpret tests, coordinate care with all the members of the healthcare team, whether that be the physical therapist or the social worker, or maybe it's the cardiologist, but they're coordinating all of that care. They're educated to do that. So moving to full practice authority, like 26 states and DC, they've simply updated their laws to where nurse practitioners can practice to the full extent of their education. And it's nationally accredited education, training, and national board certification. And so now in those states, they have more access to care. So in the states that have not updated their laws, they still have barriers, unnecessary barriers, that are restricted through the government. They really need to update their laws so that we can increase care or increase access to care. And you've worked with nurse practitioners. I've worked with some of the best physicians and surgeons in the world and absolutely love working with every single member of the healthcare team. The nurse practitioner fulfills a very specific role. And there is some overlap in diagnosis and things like that, but we fill a very specific role. And many of those roles we just talked about today, working in the community, seeing patients in the home. So I do think we should move all states towards updating their laws for healthcare and certainly for nurse practitioners to practice to the full extent of their education, not expand their scope of practice beyond what they're educated to do, but to the extent of what they have been educated to do.
Yeah, I agree with you. I could talk to you all day, frankly, but we do have to wrap it up. Our laws are dated and there needs to be this new equilibrium. I wasn't trying to discount the role of the provider. I was looking to shift more responsibility to the NP and to engage to the top of their license and relative to their education. And that frees up the resources of a physician to focus on so they can operate at the top of the license versus handling cough and cold, right?
Right.
So there needs to be a new understanding of, if we're going to do healthcare reform, let's reform the roles and responsibilities each member of a care team has to better provide this outreach and create this access that's necessary for us to, for the consumers to ultimately either maintain their state of wellness and or get on a path of awareness to wellness. I was just diagnosed with diabetes. A lot of people think that just because they got it, they're going to die with it. That's not necessarily true.
Right.
But a nurse practitioner through engagement and coaching can change that and put that person into a remission state. So any closing comments before you go?
It's been a pleasure to speak with you today. And then I'll just say one more time, happy Nurses Week to all of the nurses out there. They're so valuable. They do things for others every single day. And then I hope that they might take some time this week to take care of themselves and to really prioritize self-care. If you want more information about NPs, we have a great website, wechoosenps.org. We encourage everybody to go there and find out more.
April, thanks again for your time.
You too.
I want to thank the show sponsors, HP. HP Engage Long Life Cycle Products provides the stability, safety, and security you need, plus flexibility and performance designed for today and tomorrow. As well, GenieMD, providing a modular, scalable, and customizable virtual care platform and clinical services to help providers extend care into the home, increasing access and quality while driving new revenue opportunities. If you missed part of today's episode, you can tune in at the same time, 11 a.m. or 7 p.m. Eastern, throughout the week, and be sure to check out the program page on healthcarenowradio.com. And remember, connect or follow me on LinkedIn, Twitter, at Foley Tom, and follow the show's hashtag, The Virtual Shift. I'm Tom Foley. Until the next shift.